So this morning, if you take your Bible and turn to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1. Luke, chapter 1. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 1. And this morning, we're just going to read the first four verses. It's Luke's introduction of a letter that he writes to a notable man named Theophilus. But in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, the Bible says, "For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us, even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word, it seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed." Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank this morning, O God, our Father, that we can gather together to worship thee. Lord, with thanksgiving in our hearts, not only for all the blessings that we have received in our lives by the gracious hand of our God, but more importantly, by the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. Because, Father, we realize, understand, while we can't grasp the magnitude of it all to the fullest degree, we know in our hearts that you loved us. And you gave your only begotten Son to die for us that we might live eternally with thee. And Lord, we thank you for that. And Lord, we pray this morning that you would be pleased to minister to us your word through thy Spirit to our hearts and to our lives so that you would receive the glory in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Many, and I concur with them, consider that Luke, the Gospel of Luke, is probably the most beautiful book of the Bible. Because the Gospel of Luke not only tells the story of Jesus Christ, not only tells the story of Jesus Christ in great detail, but it tells the story of Jesus Christ in a very special way, a very tender way, as it portrays the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Son of Man, as he lived upon the face of this earth and went to the cross of Calvary for you and me. It's written by a doctor, a physician. His name is Luke. He was a co-laborer of the Apostle Paul, the Bible tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and Colossians chapter 4. Paul refers to him as a beloved physician. Not just a physician. There's physicians that you wonder if they have any manner at all. Paul says, no, Luke is a beloved physician. He's in Rome close to Paul while Paul is in prison. And that's when this is written. And from Rome, he writes two letters. Two letters to the same man. Two letters to this man, Theophilus. He writes the Gospel of Luke and he writes the book of Acts to a man he's to some degree acquainted with personally. Theophilus is probably, by the title that is given to him in verse number 3, most excellent Theophilus. He is most likely a Roman politician of some position. But that's not really what's important. What's important is that Luke is writing to him as an individual to another individual, so that he might have a complete and full understanding of who Jesus is and what he did for Theophilus on the road to Calvary, on the cross of Calvary, excuse me. For when you talk to people about Jesus Christ, sometimes people have questions, valid questions. Who is he? Who is this Jesus? What was he like? Where did he come from? Tell me more about him. And Luke writes to Theophilus, not only of the birth of Jesus Christ, not only of the life of Jesus Christ, but all the way through to the continuing work and ministry of Jesus Christ in the lives of people, even down to the time when Luke is writing. And I think as we begin, we need to understand that as Luke is a physician, physicians in those days were highly trained people. Well, they might not have all the knowledge and skill that has been acquired over the years up until this day, but they went through training, they went through schooling, and they were highly trained, and that is seen in the Gospel of Luke as you can read and you can glean the medical details that are recorded by Luke's testimony of the life of Christ that aren't recorded in the other Gospels. But there's something else. Luke was also a very intelligent, cultured, and refined individual. And that's seen in his introduction. His introduction in the first four verses is very polished. It's not my Greek, certainly. And it certainly wouldn't be my English. But it's a very polished individual as a doctor is writing to another person, if you will, by way of introduction on a very professional level. For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth. You can just see the culture and the refinement and the intelligence there that I lack all of the above. But Luke didn't. But as much as Luke was trained as a physician and skilled in his craft, as much as he was intellectual, cultured, and refined, he was very personable. He was a man that would bring the record of the Son of Man to you and me. And while the introduction in the first four verses is very refined and polished and written very well, beginning at verse number 5, it becomes very personal. Brings it down to the very personal level. And he says, there was in the days of Herod. And so begins the narrative of the life of Jesus Christ in a very personal way, because Jesus Christ he's a Son of God, but he's a Son of Man. And he wants to have a personal relationship with each and every one of us. But as we look and read the account that is given to us by Luke, there are three things about Luke and his witness of Jesus Christ to Theophilus that are something for us to take notice of, as we would witness to others as well. In fact, there are three things you would desire of any doctor. Luke was a doctor. And I believe the three things we see in Luke's testimony, in Luke's witness, and how he writes the gospel are three things that you and I would say, wow, that's wonderful if I could have all three of these things in my doctor, the one that's attending to the care of my life. It would be great. But more than seeing them in the life of Luke as a doctor, and as a Christian, and as a witness, we see him in the life of Jesus Christ. And so what are these three things that we will see this morning, the three things that we would desire in a doctor, and three things that we would desire in a person that would care for us, three things that we see in the life of Jesus Christ? First one's compassion. Compassion. We see that in Luke. Luke was a physician that as you read and you really just read from his perspective, you see not only a doctor that is able to give medical details, but you see a doctor who's a man who doesn't just look at his patient as a scientific experiment or something like that, but cares for the individual as a real person. Isn't that what you really want in a doctor, by the way? Someone who just doesn't show up for an appointment. Someone who just hasn't read the textbooks and has the knowledge. But someone who takes your life and your health personally and cares about you. That's what we see in the testimony of Luke. That's what we see in Jesus Christ. The second one is completeness. Completeness. A doctor who is thorough in all aspects of your care. Because our life is so complex, isn't it? Our health is so complex. Boy, I've learned that this year. But thirdly, clarity. A doctor who is clear. A doctor who is clear. How many times have you walked in a doctor's office, listened to the doctor, come away, said, I don't know what he said, I don't know what's going on, I don't get a clue. So you take someone else with you the next time. And then the two of you come away. Well, we don't have a clue. Still don't have a clue. So you Google it. Now you really don't have a clue. But clarity. A doctor who is thorough in all aspects of your care. Clear about the things so that you understand and have confidence in what he is telling you. Because the end of this, it's your life. It's your life. It's my life. And how much more important is that when we come to our witness of Jesus Christ? How much more is it important when we look at Jesus Christ to know that Jesus Christ is compassionate, he cares. To know that Jesus Christ is complete in his work. And to know that Jesus Christ is clear because he is the truth. So this morning I want us to look at, actually, from the first four verses, and we'll go forward from there, but I want us to see those three things. I want us to see, first of all, that Luke was not just a witness of Jesus Christ, but he was a very compassionate witness to Jesus Christ. He didn't just write the gospel, but he had a heart of compassion for the man to whom he was writing the gospel. And we see that in the first four verses. For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us, even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word. Look what he says in verse 3. It seemed good to me also. He says, Theophilus, the most excellent Theophilus, it seemed good to me, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. Luke isn't just writing. Luke is writing from the heart that has compassion for the man to whom this is personally written, because he cares about this man's soul. He cares about this man's eternity. You know, you can see that as you go through the Gospel of Luke. You can see the compassion of the doctor coming through the story of Christ. I mean, you go to Luke chapter 2. In Luke chapter 2, and I think we should mark this down in the books of the history of Lakes Palm Baptist Church, that Pastor Meter is reading the Christmas story, and it's not even December yet. But Luke chapter 2, but what I want you to see here in Luke chapter 2 is something very special. I want you to read with me just the first seven verses. But I want you to read with me from the heart of a doctor. A heart of a doctor that has ministered to families. A heart of a doctor that has been in the homes of women as they have brought forth children. There's a difference there, folks. And we see the compassion as he writes in verse number 2 of chapter 2. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one, into his own city. Now, we might not think much of that, but think about it from a doctor's perspective. As he is writing about a woman that is bearing a child. Because he says this, Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, under the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was with the house of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. Can you sense the compassion of this doctor as he writes and thinks about what it must have been like? What it must have been like, the struggles and the challenges that came to this woman, Mary, as she traveled this long distance being with child. How difficult it was. He's not thinking of Joseph, but he's writing and he's expressing with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. He goes on in verse number 6. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And now he's writing with compassion about her delivering a child, Jesus Christ. And he goes on to say this, and here's the tenderness and the compassion. And she brought forth her firstborn son. And he knew all that involved. Wrapped him in swaddling clothes. Laid him in a manger. Because there was no room for them in the inn. And as you read those 7 verses, you sense the heart of a doctor that loves and cares for a woman that is great with child as she travels a great distance. As she brings forth this child, Jesus Christ, into the world. As she wraps him carefully and tenderly and lovingly in swaddling clothes. As she lays him in the manger. Only a loving, caring doctor could write such a story from the depths of his heart with compassion. But he would go on to write more than reflecting the compassion of his heart. The Gospel of Luke, you can see throughout the Gospel of Luke, the compassion of Jesus Christ. And that's what's brought forth. If you go over to Luke chapter 7, you can see, you know, every Gospel brings forth different miracles. And in Mark, you see the power of Jesus Christ. In Matthew, you see the fulfillment of the Old Testament scriptures to the Jewish people. The Gospel of John, you see that he is the Son of God. You know what you notice in the Gospel of Luke? You notice that power of the Messiah of Israel. That power of the Son of God. In the context of tender, compassionate, and care for the people to whom he ministered to. One example out of many is Luke chapter 7. In Luke chapter 7 and verse number 11. And it came to pass the day after that he went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him and much people. Now when he came nigh to the gate of the city, and behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother. And she was a widow, and much people of the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her, and said unto her, weep not. And he came and touched the bier, and they that bare him stood still, and he said, young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak, and he delivered him to his mother. And there Luke, with his compassionate heart, points to a greater compassion, the compassion of Jesus Christ. That as this widow has her only son and her only son has died, Jesus sees this lady and sees the agony and the turmoil of her soul as she weeps and grieves for her son. The Bible says Jesus Christ had compassion on her. He raised that child up, that young man from the dead. And then it says this, and he delivered him back to his mother. But oh, we could continue on, but I want you to go to Luke chapter 23. From Luke chapter 23, we, we see the greatest of compassion in the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only has he ministered to people in their needs, did miracles in their lives, in their physical lives, but more importantly, on the cross of Calvary, in Luke chapter 23, verse number 33. And they were come to the place which is called Calvary. And there they crucified him, and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. And there's Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. Sinners on the right, sinners on the left, sinners all around. In the next verse, we see something so precious. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Oh, in the next portion of Scripture, one of those thieves would turn to the Lord Jesus Christ and say, Lord, remember me. And he would say, today, thou shalt be with me in paradise. And Luke writes with compassion. But that compassion that was in the heart of Luke came from the one that had the greatest of compassion, Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5, verse number 8, for the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. And I wonder how many times as Luke was with Paul. I wonder how many moments in the day or how many times as they thought and talked and witnessed and sat down and opened the Word of God to different people. Wonder how many times Luke heard from the lips of Paul what Paul would write in Galatians chapter 2. He loved me and gave himself for me. Wonder how many times they sat there and they looked at each other and just sat there in almost complete silence and just thought, he loved me. He loved me. He loved me and gave himself for me. And the reason why the Gospel of Luke is so beautiful is because it's written with a heart of compassion about the one that has the greatest compassion for you and me, Jesus Christ, because truly he did love us. He does love us. And he gave himself for us. But not only does it speak of the compassion of Jesus Christ, not only do we see a compassionate witness, but we also see a complete witness. You know, when you go back to Luke chapter 1, a very thorough witness. I mean, you just stop and consider the witness of Luke to this one man. Luke just didn't give him a little pamphlet, folks. Luke just didn't send him a little gospel tract that was 3 pages long. He sent him the whole gospel of Luke and followed it up with the whole book of Acts. That's one gospel tract, is it not? Right? That's one full, complete, thorough, detailed explanation of all of who Jesus Christ is, what he has done, and what he continues to do. For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us, even as they delivered unto us, from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministered the word, seemed good to me also, having perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus. Over in the book of Acts, he would continue on another letter to Theophilus, and he would say this in Acts chapter 1. The former treatise have I made of, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion, by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And we see that Luke, just as you want a doctor to be thorough and complete in his treatment and care of your life, Luke was so thorough, so careful, so complete. You know, that's why we have Luke chapter 1. Oh, the actual birth of Jesus Christ is in Luke chapter 2. But Luke chapter 1, what is Luke doing there? He's being so thorough and complete that just as a doctor would ask you about your past medical history, and you go like this, right? You know, you go into the doctor and they, you know, what did your grandparents have? You know, what did your great-grandparents have? What did your siblings have, right? Well, that's what they asked me this last year. And I went back, and one of the things they asked me about was arthritis. And so I went back, and I knew that, you know, you can't remember all the details of when you were in kindergarten, can you? Right? Now, I remember I was in the hospital during kindergarten. But all I remember is chocolate milkshakes, slippers, and a lot of presents. I don't remember much else about it. But as I grew up, I was told that the reason I was in the hospital for a period of time was because I had great pain, because I had childhood rheumatoid arthritis. Over the years, it never bothered me. And so when the doctor asked me, I said, well, my hip doctor, when he did the surgery, he says, tell me your background. I said, well, I had childhood rheumatoid arthritis. And I began to wonder. I said, did I really? You know, come on. I'm not the only one that scratches my head once in a while. You know how amazing God is? I went back. I remembered the doctor's name that treated me. So I looked up his name. I just, out of curiosity, I looked him up. And just recently, he passed away. And so there was a long notice in the newspaper. This is how good God is. The doctor that treated me when I was in kindergarten. And this is how now I'm convinced, and I know that I had childhood rheumatoid arthritis. He became one of the leading orthopedic doctors in all of the United States of America. One of the first and foremost orthopedic doctors. He was a doctor of the Olympic teams, and he's written books, and I said, wow, at least I know this. The guy knew what he was talking about, right? Because if it was just my mother's word, I'd say, I don't know. If it was my word, I don't have a clue. But this doctor is one of the leading specialists in orthopedics, and I said, oh, okay. Well, if he said I must have had it. And case closed. But what Luke is doing in chapter 1 is he's going back to the beginning. He's going back to the prophecies of the Old Testament. He's connecting the past and all the promises that God made to Abraham and to the children of Israel. And all the way through the Old Testament scriptures that point to Jesus Christ. And he's connecting that to the present. Just as a doctor wants to connect your past history to your present condition. That's what Luke is doing. And then he continues to give a complete witness as he goes through the whole life of Christ. Mark doesn't go to the birth of Christ. John doesn't spend much detail on the birth of Christ. But Luke does, because as a physician, he cares about all of his life. And he speaks about the birth and the life, the early life, the childhood life, the teenage life, the adult life, and the ministry and the work of Jesus Christ. And the most importantly, the death of Jesus Christ. Not only the how, but the why. and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the ascension of Jesus Christ. But as he witnesses to Theophilus in the Gospel of Luke and then continues in the book of Acts, he doesn't stop there. He speaks of everything about Christ. But he continues on with a complete and thorough witness of Jesus Christ, to the power of Jesus Christ and what Jesus Christ, after he died and buried and rose again, after he ascended back into glory, what he is doing in the lives of people, even until the time of Luke's writing, as people would trust in Jesus Christ, how he's changing their lives as they place their faith in him. A complete witness, a complete and thorough testimony of Jesus Christ. Do you know what that points to? To me, it points to the complete work of Jesus Christ. For in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20, 21, it says this: "For he," that's God, "made him," that's Jesus Christ, "to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." If we stop short of understanding that, not only did Jesus Christ suffer, not only did he die, but that he was made sin for you and I who are sinners and took our place, paid the price for our sin. That's us. Folks, it's more than what we have done. It's who we are. He was made sin for us so that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And so we see a complete and thorough testimony of Christ from a doctor who was so complete, makes me appreciate when you're in with a doctor and he takes time to write so much stuff down, doesn't it? Boy, I want him to be complete. I want him to be thorough. And Luke was thorough to Theophilus, thorough in witnessing of everything from the past to the present, to even right now today, of all that Jesus Christ is, all that he has done, and all that he is able to do in a person's life when they place their faith in him. But there's one more: the clarity of the witness. He was a very clear witness. He was a compassionate witness of the compassion of Jesus Christ. He was a complete witness of the complete work of Jesus Christ. But he was a clear witness, very clear. And aren't you glad when you go to a doctor and he's just very clear. And he just speaks to you very clearly what your situation is and what needs to be done. Gives you confidence. You don't walk away saying, I don't know. Maybe I'll just go and eat more grass. I don't know, you know. But it gives you confidence when the doctor speaks with clarity. And Luke speaks with clarity. Yeah, look in verse number 2 of chapter 1 of Luke. For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us, even as they delivered them unto us, which were from the beginning, were eyewitnesses and ministered the word. First of all, we see the clarity of Luke. Luke says, listen, this is what we surely believe. From the eyewitnesses down to Luke's testimony, Luke says, I'm going to tell you with confidence what I believe. Just as Paul would say, I know whom I have believed in, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Paul says, I want to be clear. I firmly believe what I'm going to say to you. But not only clarity about himself, but clarity about Theophilus. He's clear to Theophilus. He's not beating around the bush. He says to Theophilus, he says, it seemed good to me also, having perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. And it's Theophilus, he says, listen, I want you to know. And by the way, that word know there, that thou mightest know, that's knowing personally the certainty of what Luke believed and changed his life. Luke says, Theophilus, I want you to know personally. I want you to know in reality. I want you to know in your life, in your heart. I want you to know by your own faith what I believe. It's changed my life. I want you to know Jesus Christ as I know Jesus Christ. When's the last time you've spoken to someone and you say, listen, the reason why I'm talking to you is I want you to know Jesus Christ the way that I know Jesus Christ. I want you to know him in the reality that I know him. I want you to know him in the reality of trusting him, of praying and seeing him answer prayer, of seeing him work in the details of your life, of seeing the peace and joy that only Jesus Christ can give. Luke writes with a heart of compassion, this man, in completeness of his testimony writes, but his purpose is clear. Theophilus, oh Theophilus, I'm writing just to you because I care about you. I care about your soul. But he's also clear about what he's writing about. He says, about those things, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. And we know as we read through the Gospel of Luke, as we read through the book of Acts, we know the certainty of those things is about the person of Jesus Christ. That Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That Jesus Christ is the Messiah. That Jesus Christ is the Savior. And we see it brought forth in clarity in the Gospel of Luke. You only have to go to Luke chapter 2 and the birth of Jesus Christ. Luke chapter 2, and we come down to verse number 11. For he didn't want Theophilus to come to any wrong conclusions about the birth of Jesus Christ and what it was all about. He wanted to understand. He wanted him to understand why Jesus Christ came into this world. Oh, my friend, listen. This morning in our country, so much this world needs to be told that Jesus Christ came into this world so that he could save sinners from their sin. There's a world out there that doesn't know the meaning of Christmas. And in this season, in this time, it's a time when at least their thought is turned a little bit to the Word, to the holiday, if you will. But when you stand in a church, as I did a year or so ago, 2 years ago, and a 13-year-old boy walks into your midst, and his younger sister walks into your midst, and you just ask him this simple question, can you tell me what Christmas is all about? And those two young kids, with all innocence, cannot tell you that Christmas is about the birth of Jesus Christ in any way. This world needs someone to tell them it's not about anything else, but it's about the fact that Jesus Christ was born so that he could die for them, so that they could live eternally. My heart broke that night as I sat down. I said to those two kids, I said, sit down. Please sit down. The adults gathered around. I says, I'm going to take time tonight, simply as I can. And I says, I want to tell you what Christmas is all about. Shocked me to the core that in the United States of America, there are young people walking through the streets of the cities and villages that don't know that Christmas is about Christ. And they don't have any clue. And Luke says, Theophilus, you're not going to have that excuse. Because as I write to you, I'm going to make one thing clear. It's about Jesus Christ. The birth of Jesus Christ is about this. In verse number 11, for unto you, Theophilus, unto the Jewish people, unto the world, unto you and I, unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Oh, you go over to Luke chapter 19. Theophilus, in case you didn't get it back there, oh, as you read through the life of Jesus Christ, let me give it to you one more time in Luke chapter 19 and verse number 10. Oh, Theophilus, please read it. Please absorb it. Please get it. More than a mind, get it in your heart. In Luke chapter 19 and verse number 10. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. Oh, Theophilus, go a little bit further. Go to Luke chapter 23. In case you still have questions, in case you still have wonder, let me give you the testimony of a man, a soldier, a centurion that was there that day, witnessed Jesus Christ dying on the cross. Listen to what this man said. Listen to the testimony of that man that was there. For in Luke chapter 23 and verse number 36, in Luke chapter 24, Luke chapter 23 and verse number 47. I got it written right out in my notes too, wouldn't you know it? Now when the centurion saw what was done, he glorified God saying, certainly, certainly, this was a righteous man. Luke writes to the officers, he says, I want you to know with certainty the things which we believed, the things which are true, that this child that was born is the Savior, that he's the Son of Man that came to seek and to save that which was lost, that when he died on the cross, a Roman soldier lifted up his voice and glorified God and said, certainly, this was a righteous man. Oh, Theophilus, just go a little bit further. Go to Luke chapter 24, because when Jesus Christ arose from the grave, as he stood in the presence of his disciples, he held out his hands. In verse number 39, behold my hands and my feet, that it is I, myself. Handle me and see. Oh, Theophilus, from the very birth of Christ to the death of Christ to the resurrection of Christ, Theophilus, do you see? Oh, Theophilus, do you see that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he is the Savior? Very clear witness. Why? Because of what Peter said in Acts chapter 4. Very clear. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And so the missionary doctor writes. He writes with compassion because he cares about the man's soul. He writes with completeness, a thoroughness, so that every question that Theophilus might have regarding Jesus Christ, it answers completely. And he writes very clear so that Theophilus would know not only that he cares, not only the completeness, but he would know exactly what Jesus Christ said in John chapter 14 when he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. But you know, something else. As great as a physician and a doctor Luke was, in reality what he's doing, he was pointing Theophilus to the greatest doctor, the greatest physician. For what Luke could do in being used of God as a physician to help heal the physical parts and aspects of Theophilus' life is one part of Theophilus' life. There's one part of your life. There's one part of my life that no earthly physician can heal. But there is a great physician that can heal. In Luke chapter 4, Jesus Christ would stand in the synagogue. And in Luke chapter 4, he would open the book of Isaiah. He would find the place it was written. And he would read these words. The Spirit of the Lord, in verse 18, is upon me. Because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. To preach deliverance to the captives. Recovering of sight to the blind. To set at liberty those that are bruised. He's not speaking of a heart that is physically broken and needs surgery. He's speaking about a soul that is separated from God because of sin. And no earthly doctor can fix that. But there is a great physician, Jesus Christ, who cares for your soul, who in the completeness of Calvary did what no one else could do. And he became sin for you so that you might be made the righteousness of God in him. And he loved you so much that he gave himself for you. And he wants to be clear so that you understand he loves you, he cares about you, he died for you, and he wants to save your soul. May God help us in these days, by his grace and the power of Spirit, to be such a witness of, as Luke was, to witness of the compassion and the completeness and the clarity of Christ, so the broken hearts of people all around us will be healed by the precious blood of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you this morning for thy word. Lord, I pray that your word has, oh, just touched our hearts, Lord, as we think of thee, the compassion you have for us, the completeness of what you have done for us and continue to do for us, and the clarity of your words and your life, that we can trust you completely. Lord, I pray if there's someone here that needs to put their faith in Jesus Christ, they would today. And we thank you and praise you in Jesus' precious name. Amen.